of that sinful nature. This is what Paul is telling Titus. You remind these people that they have come out of all this backbiting and lying and cheating and hating one another and being evil toward one another. They have come out of that stuff. So you keep reminding them, keep it fresh on their mind so that they cannot do these things, because we are trying to get to heaven. That's where we're going. We're on our way to heaven. We're heaven bound. And the only way we're going to get there is we're going to have to be real. We're going to have to be truthful. We're going to have to be obedient to the things of God. We can't be just like the world, because the world is on a sliding trail straight to hell. Now, if you want to follow them, you go ahead, but you will be lost, you know. And then he told him, he said, but avoid questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So, saints of God, there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason where we should have any confusion about where we are. We're reminded, Paul is reminding us through the letter that he wrote to Titus. He's reminding us of the things that we once was like the world. We once was walking in pleasures and lying and cheating and gambling and stealing and whoremongering and all those things. We once did those. And he told them, just remind the Christians, you're not in that no more. After God came with his righteousness and holiness and the Holy Ghost, he cleaned us up from all that stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, saints of God, let's clean ourselves up. Let's ask God to help us to take the lust out of our eyes, the lust out of our being, wherever we're lusting and whatever we're lusting for. Let's ask God to remove it now in the name of Jesus.
Family, you have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Recorded are these words. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, it's time to get it together. It's time to get it together. Help me preach this if you don't mind. Turn to someone on either side of you and say, it's time to get it together. And if you're too mean to talk to somebody, talk to yourself and just say, it's time to get it together. Now listen at this, because Isaiah sees in the future, which is now to us the past. But when he received this revelation of Jesus Christ and who he truly is and was, as related to scripture and fulfillment of prophecy, he paints a clear picture of the offering, the awesome suffering and sacrifice that Jesus paid to save each and every one of us. Isaiah deals with some heavy stuff in this 53rd chapter, and he starts off with two telling questions. He says, first, who hath believed our report? Then the second question is, who is the arm of the Lord? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, these two questions, listen, are telling in that, first of all, that he has to say, that he's already begun saying, is setting up us to understand how magnificent and how wonderful the story of Calvary is, and how, if we're going to truly understand what Jesus did for us, it's going to be in the wake of understanding all that precedes this chapter and what's in this chapter, and how we are to take this and recognize that it is designed for us to receive the truth of the Word of God, the report of God, what God has desired to do, what God is in the process of doing, and what God's end desire is, and that's the salvation of man's soul through the giving of his only begotten Son, who is our Savior. And so he asks the question, who hath believed our report? Who will believe what Isaiah is saying about God and his Son and the awesome sacrifices that they both make for a wretched humankind? When you begin to look at how awesome this is and how much it deals and delves into the depravity of man, and in spite of man's worst, God gives his best. He wants to know who believes this report. And then to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord, meaning the arm, the far-reaching arm of salvation, that this arm is reaching out beyond the now and into the future and to future times until Jesus comes back again. That arm is the long-reaching arm of salvation. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, what is that saying? First of all, it can't be revealed unless God reveals it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto me but by my Father, or coming unto the Father but by me. In other words, the drawing of Jesus comes because the Father sent him, and as the Father sent him, he draws us back closer to the Father. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that report? No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. But listen at this. Jesus has said oftentimes, when you've seen me, you've seen my Father. My Father and I are one. In other words, the agenda of God is the agenda of the Son. And what he has desired to do by God, again, having his people restored back to him, it is the desire of the Son to bring them to the Father. So listen as he goes on, and if you got time, you just read through this 53rd chapter. But these opening verses will set up who Jesus is and how he has come to us. And then when it gets to the fifth verse, it talks about, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In other words, everything that Jesus endured was not only for our salvation, but it was for our healing. It was for our deliverance, and it was for the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. And then he moves to this sixth verse and then says something very striking. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us. What's interesting about this verse is it starts off with all and it ends up with all. Look at it. All we like sheep. And at the end, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, all, let's, if you don't mind, is a slice of bread. And the other all is the other slice of bread. Let me deal with the meat in the middle. Some of you all look hungry, so I'm going to fix you a good sandwich. Between the breads of all, look at what he tells us. Again, this first all says something that we must all fully comprehend. All here means no exceptions. No exceptions. Somebody say no exceptions. When he says all here, there is not one of us who could say, preacher, I beg to differ. I'm not one of those that Isaiah speaks about in the text. When he said all, he meant all. He meant every human being, every one who claims Christ as their Savior, everyone who claims to know God or desire God or who is with God. He's speaking about all of those before we have come into the fullness of the understanding of who we truly are in Christ Jesus. All we like sheep. Now, this part means no exclusion. Don't matter what your denomination is. You're sheep, you're sheep. No matter what fold you belong to, you are a sheep. You can be a little white sheep. You can be a big black sheep. You can be a little lamb. You can be a old sheep. I'm about to say goat. It really doesn't matter. It's that there's no exclusions. Listen, it's including everyone. Now, I like the way Isaiah is painting this picture because it's simple in its understanding when you grasp the reality that we don't even pretend to act like we got it together. And even if we do pretend to act like we got it together, God wants to reveal through Isaiah that we don't. Listen at this, because if we had it together, there would have been no need for God to send his son and his son to give his life so that we could come into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father if we had it all together. David said we were born in sin. Now, who was he talking about? We were born in sin. All of us. Every human being that is born on planet Earth is born in sin. Well, David says something else about that. He says we're shapen in iniquity. Well, it literally means that we are shapen in vainness and foolishness and nothingness just because of our surroundings, our environment, our atmosphere. In other words, we are a byproduct of what we live. See, it's been proven scientifically and in other ways that a child learns what they live. If the child learns this or that, it tends to make them lean toward this way of life or that way of life. It tells us how if a child is encouraged, he or she usually grows up with that encouragement, striving for the better things in life, seeing themselves in a great self-confident and wonderful way. But if a child lives with condemnation and always being put down and called names, usually that child winds up being one with self-issues, one who's looked down upon, talked down upon, act down, and just low down because of the environment in which he or she lives. And so it's clear what you are a part of becomes a part of you. That's why you ought to be careful with whom you associate with. That's why parents ought to be careful who they let their children hang out with, because it is true, association brings on assimilation. You hang around, listen, I don't care if you are an eagle, you hang around with enough turkeys and chickens and you're gonna find out that you don't soar as high as you used to or could. So the scripture helps us to see within the confines here that there are no exceptions and there are no exclusion. We like sheep. But I got to say a word about sheep because everybody don't know about sheep. Why does he say we all we like sheep? Why didn't he say all we like goats? Why didn't he say all we like pigs? Why didn't he say all we like cows? Bulls. Why didn't he say all we like snakes? Why didn't he say all we like elephants, rhinoceros? Why didn't he say all we like rats? I know I've called your animal in the midst of this. I know you're quiet for a reason, but he said all we like sheep. Listen. There are some characteristics of sheep that you ought to know. I've shared it with you. Those of you who've been in this ministry any time with me know. First thing about sheep is they're timid. Sheep are timid. The timidity in sheep is probably greater than any other animal. Sheep are so timid that they are fearful of most things. Sheep, many folk don't know, if you knock a sheep down, a sheep will stay down kicking and won't get up until the danger is gone. You think about some folk in church that's been knocked down, they're still kicking every time you hear them. Instead of getting back up, they still kicking, just complaining about stuff that didn't happen 20 years ago, 15 years ago. They got out the choir 30 years ago and they ain't got back, and now they ain't got no voice now. Didn't give God all they had because somebody knocked them down and they didn't have sense enough to get back up and get back in the choir. Somebody said something about them and their feelings got hurt and they didn't know how to shake it off and put it in the hands of the Lord. They didn't know how to follow the scripture and go to their brother and say, you have offended me. But rather they fool around and allow a root of bitterness to grow on the inside of them and become with an unforgiving spirit that will keep them from being forgiven by the Lord. The sheep can be on the banks of the river, listen at this, and die of thirst. Because sheep don't drink from rushing, moving waters. That's why the shepherd David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Because the shepherd knew that the sheep needed a calm environment. And for the water to be still, where the sheep could look in and see its reflection as it drank. Because they are so timid, they would fear drowning from drinking in rushing and moving water. I could keep on going on about sheep, but he talks about sheep being going before their shearer as dumb. And I think I need to tell you this word dumb don't mean dumb dumb. The word dumb here translated means mouth bound or tongue locked or silent. And so when Jesus, listen, talks about on the cross, they say he didn't say a mumbling word. It was because he too was showing us the characteristic of sheep, and he did not say anything, because what he could have said or would have said would have changed the game. So he locked his own tongue and endured all of the suffering and the shame because he wanted to save you and me. What a God we serve. Listen at this now. Listen at this. So I need you to see the word says, all we like sheep. Listen, what have we done? We've gone astray. There are no exceptions. There are no exclusions. And here's the third thing I want you to see the text. There are no excuses. We have all gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Listen at this. Now, what does this mean and what does this illustrate? It literally means that before the Lord Jesus Christ prepared a way for us and became our good shepherd, we were wandering without a shepherd. A sheep has to be led. It cannot be pulled. It cannot be driven. A sheep must be led. And so without a shepherd, sheep will stray, and each one of them don't have sense enough to know that there's strength in numbers, and to be unified together, they turn and go their own way. You think about us. That is the way we have been. And that's the way many of us still are. And unfortunately, it is time for us to get it together. You are a chosen people. You are a royal people, a royal nation. You are a peculiar people. You are somebody. You have got to recognize God expects you to represent him in the high manner and standard in which you, as a child of God, should represent God. And God wants us to know that we can never affect the world acting like the world. We've got to come together, get together, be together, so that we can do together what Christ has called us to do. Listen at this. He made clear we have turned everyone to his own way. That's no exaggeration. No exaggeration. If you think I'm making this up, you think about the things you want to do that goes against the things God wants to do. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff you don't know. I'm talking about the stuff you do know. I'm talking about the thous. I'm not even talking about the thou shall not. I'm talking about all of the good things. And I don't have to go through the list because you already know them. You run from them. You turn away from them. That's a part of this makeup that one has when they don't have a Savior. But you have a Savior, and no longer should you act like you don't have one. That means you've got one who leads us, and he leads us well, so much so he chose all 12 men, and he simply said to them, follow me. Never did he turn to the disciples and say, where do you want to go? Never did he say, what's on your agenda? Never did he say, what do you think we ought to be doing? But he came with a plan. He came with an agenda, and he brought about the fulfilling of this agenda through getting disciples to carry on everything he began and told them, occupy when he left, till I come. Why? Because that's what those of us who have been brought together by Christ Jesus should do. Now, you know I'm preaching because the devil got y'all mouths locked up like I don't know what. But I know if I was talking some of that talk y'all wanted to hear right now, and I was talking about, yeah, and he'll give you this and he'll do that for you, and or you gonna get that house and you gonna get that car, you name it and you claim it and wow and all that, you'd be all on your feet. But you don't want to hear this, because this is about you getting it together. You ain't fooling me. You ain't fooling God. But you may be fooling yourself, thinking you're fooling him. He sees you when you come here, sit down in these pews, know what you've done and what you haven't done this week. He knows what opportunities he's given you to lift him up, to glorify his name, to praise him, to bless his people, and you squandered that opportunity. He knows all of the things that he has given you to share and to show as a good Samaritan those who have been beaten and fallen and taken advantage of on the path. He knows the blessings he's blessed your life with so you could share them with other. He knows the salvation he's given you so you could tell other lost men what he's done for me. He can do the same for you. And I know you know that God is requiring us to get it together. Three things I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to let you go on home. One, the thing that I want you to leave here with is that it's time for us to get it together. The first thing I want to tell you about is the reason we've got to get it together. The reason we've got to get it together is because the scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. That is the reason we've got to get it together.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.com.